Support for TPR comes from UT San Antonio, offering degree programs and research focused on workforce development, student success, and health innovation across Texas. UTSA.edu. UT San Antonio, the University of Ambition.
I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, because of school shootings, Texas now requires armed security on campus, but often these officers are putting the students in handcuffs. Texas public schools are frequently turning ordinary childhood schoolyard misconduct into criminal cases against children as young as 10 years old. The Texas Observer investigates, and later on The Source, in many ways, the history of Lone Star Beer tells the history of San Antonio. A new book explores the legacy of the once local brew and shows how Long Necks became a Texas icon. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas public schools are arresting and criminally citing children as young as 10 years old for behavior that once might have been handled by teachers, counselors, or parents. A Texas Observer investigation examined records from 168 school districts and identified about 8,000 arrests or citations involving children ages 10 to 12 over 4 school years. The reporting also found stark racial disparities and raised questions about whether schools are adequately protecting children who have disabilities, experiencing bullying, or acting in self-defense. Josephine Lee is with the Texas Observer. She wrote the investigation, and she joins us now. Josephine Lee, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me, David.
So your analysis found about 8,000 arrests or criminal citations involving children ages 10 to 12 over 4 years. What does that number include? What's in that number?
Well, first of all, we looked at 168 public school districts. So there's more than 1,200 in the state of Texas. We looked at 168 public school districts with the highest suspension rates. And so that's just 8,000 for, 14% of the total school districts that are in Texas. And it includes arrests and criminal citations of children just 10 to 12 years old, 10 being the minimum age of criminal responsibility. What we found was, like you said, that the bulk of these arrests and criminal citations are for misdemeanor assaults. And so, it can include anything from, just shoving somebody, spitting on someone, to, verbal threats. Or sometimes when kids get into, they horseplay or they fight, they could eventually be arrested or cited. And that's what we found in our data, is that most of these arrests or citations were for nonviolent misdemeanor assault offenses.
Our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you've got a question or a comment about what is happening in Texas schools, are they overreacting? Are they unjustly criminal citing children who are just doing normal schoolyard behavior, things that we did when we were kids, and it was just handled in-house? And so what is the consequence? If a child does get a criminal citation or they're arrested, what happens to them? Are they cuffed and they brought down to the jail? What happens?
Well, I mean, a lot of that is at the discretion of the administrators of the school, right? Or the school police officers. And so what we found was that in quite a few districts that, they were arrested and had to go to court, And so, like you said, that these were sometimes behavior that might have been resolved with, teachers or administrators in the past, just like a good talking to, or In a lot of these school districts, they have a student code of conduct, which, you know, there's a lot of different interventions that can take place, like counseling, school discipline, but a lot of times, you know, they do end up in court, and that can end up on a student's record or a student's criminal record. And that doesn't get expunged until they're 18, where they can request for that record to be expunged, but that may stay on their record for until they're at least 18. And so a lot of students, you know, and parents that we talk to, you know, it's a traumatic experience for them. You know, students can be kicked out of school, end up in a disciplinary alternative program. The students we talked to, one student became mute, you know, and was out of school for a while. And when she returned, she still was not able to communicate with, you know, her teachers or her classmates because of the trauma that she went through. And other students just never returned to public school after the incident. So it can have a traumatic effect, especially on when you consider 10 to 12 year olds who have not, you know, probably have not started puberty yet, have, you know, are still like in elementary school. And so, you know, there's quite a traumatic impact, you know, psychologically and then also like physically on these students.
So that student is Grace. You tell her story in your reporting. She was at Klein ISD. She was a high functioning student with good grades. She was picked on by bullies. She fought back and she bore the consequences of that. The bullies did not. There is video of what happened in the schoolyard. So what does the video tell us that wasn't in the police report?
Well, the video shows that, you know, she was surrounded. She was followed and then surrounded by about 10 other students. And these other students surround her and then start basically, you know, beating her up. And she fights back. But then, you know, there's teachers there who are not paying attention. And it's only when she starts fighting back, somebody screams, and then they break up the fight. But, you know, she was at that time, on that day, the only one arrested. And I'm not sure, you know, we don't know from our reporting what happened to the other students, but on that day, she was the only one arrested and taken to the county police department. And
I mean, she was cuffed.
Yes, yeah, she was cuffed and arrested. And you know, she suffered a lot of trauma from that. And I think it kind of shows that, you know, there are state laws that are being violated, because one state law in the education code says that, you know, that has to be a mitigating factor, that if you're being bullied, you know, the school administrators should consider whether or not somebody is, you know, fighting back in self-defense, you know, and there are other state laws that were violated in this incident. They had charged her with terroristic threat, but there was not a investigation, a systematic investigation into what that threat was. And so they ended up, you know, arresting the victim in this case. And then while at the time, nothing had happened to her, the people who were bullying her. And there are other state laws that we found that were routinely being violated, you know, including a state law that forbids officers from engaging in routine school discipline. And, you know, the issue is that, you know, the more cops we see at school, the more arrests and citations are going to happen. And there was a GAO study that said that, you know, the rate of arrest doubled when the cops were present in the school. So I understand that right now there is a fear of school shootings, and we see that after 2023, you know, after the shooting at Uvalde, the number of cops in schools and the number of arrests, you know, climb. But when we're looking at the arrests that we're looking at, for particularly for this age group, a lot of them are for nonviolent misdemeanor assaults. And for, like you said, schoolyard fights or horse playing, and they're not for violent offenses. And so there's been efforts to raise a minimum age of criminal responsibility, but that has not gone anywhere. These efforts have...
All right, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
What is happening with law enforcement now being put on campus as a reaction to the school shootings, and what does that mean for giving, you know, these officers, these security guards, if they are now being, you know, not trained? Are they aggressive? What has changed by having them on campus?
Well, state law actually forbids officers from engaging in routine school discipline. But study shows that, you know, arrests double when cops are in schools. And now what we're seeing is that more school districts are forming their own police department, you know, placing, and then after the 2023 law, state law requires there to be an armed officer at each campus. You know, there are more cops in schools now, but, you know, the police officers we've spoken to, and also studies shows that, you know, arrests, they predict that arrests will climb because of that. I think it's particular for kids at this age because, you know, like we talked about before, most of these arrests are not for serious, you know, violent charges, right? They're for misdemeanor assaults and which we talked about before, which can range from anything from like spitting to pushing or just like mutual fighting.
Yeah, but you also talk about students being accused of making terroristic threats. I mean, how can a 10-year-old be accused of making a terroristic threat? What does that mean?
Terroristic threat means, for example, if somebody, if a student were to say, I'm going to bring a gun to school to shoot up the school, that would be considered like a terroristic threat. And, you know, those have definitely, those kind of charges have definitely increased, you know, after the mass shooting at
Uvalde,
in Uvalde, right? But those charges, we, in our investigation, we saw were actually not, they're not as much as like the misdemeanor assaults. Those were far and few in between, especially at this age. But with a terroristic threat too, the school administrators are required to do a systematic investigation and to intervene even before such a threat occurs.
But are students just making normal comments? I mean, not I'm going to come to school with a gun and kill everybody, but just... And that becomes a normal comment of like, you know, I don't like so-and-so, or I'm very mad, or that's, can that be given a terroristic threat classification?
Typically, no. I mean, what we've seen is that for somebody who says, I'm going to beat you up, or I'll give you one concrete example. We spoke to one kid in Brownsville, and he was charged with a terroristic threat because he had used scissors, and they were claiming that he was going to use that scissor to cut someone up. You know, Grace, who we spoke to from Klein ISD, was also charged with a terroristic threat because they claimed that she had said that she was going to beat somebody up. So, yeah, I guess in those cases, you know, the school does charge with terroristic threat, even if it's not necessarily like they're threatening to shoot up a school. So it really is at the discretion of the administrator and the police officer on the campus how these charges occur. But like I was saying, a lot of the charges that we saw of 10 to 12 year olds were for misdemeanor assaults, which can really, there's a wide range of charges for misdemeanor assaults, and some, and most of them are for not, are nonviolent.
So Texas, the age of criminal responsibility is 10 years old. Half of other states, it's higher, 12, 14 years old. What difference would it make if Texas raised its age of criminal responsibility to 12, 14 years old?
Well, like I mentioned before, you know, this is, there, 10 to 12 year olds are, some of them are in elementary school still, right? They haven't started puberty. Experts we talked to said that they can't be considered legally competent. And international standards actually set the criminal age of, the minimum age of criminal responsibility at age 14. And so for Texas, even though there are some states that don't have any minimum age of criminal responsibility, Texas does set it at 10, but it is less than some other states who are pushing to raise a minimum age of criminal responsibility. And this has been an effort that some House legislators have, you know, attempted to pass in the past few years, is to raise that minimum age of criminal responsibility. So there was three times where it passed in the House, but it died in the Senate.
So the irony is that they want to hold 10-year-olds at this criminally responsible, but they don't want to provide them the same rights and protections as an as anyone else who's charged with a crime?
Right. I mean, when we think of when adults are arrested, right, they're usually read their Miranda rights before being arrested or interrogated.
So have an attorney present?
Right. They can ask for an attorney to be present. In this case, what we see with school-based arrests is that they are not read their Miranda rights before being interrogated. And so what we see typically is that, you know, administrators will interrogate the student, or school police officers will interrogate students. Parents are not required by state law to be contacted or even to be present when all of this happens. And anything that they say or anything that they sign can be then used against them in the court of law, right?
And so, and children are more likely to provide a false confession because they succumb to authority pressure.
Exactly.
Right. So, yeah. Is Texas cracking down? Are we having higher suspension rates? Are they really trying to missing the mark when it comes to making schools safer and actually increasing this so-called classroom to prison pipeline?
Yeah, I mean, we have found that, you know, suspension rates and arrest rates have climbed since the shooting at Uvalde. But the way that legislators and also school administrators and school districts are responding, it may not be making schools any safer. I mean, there's been, you know, widespread studies that, you know, positive behavioral interventions, you know, building a positive like culture at the school is preventative. And those are ideas that are endorsed by like the FBI or national experts for many years. And a lot of times that goes by the wayside. You know, there are no positive behavioral interventions in many of these cases. So if we take, you know, the example of Grace and Klein ISD, you know, these girls that had beat up Grace were known bullies, right? But there was nothing to prevent that bullying from happening. And so she did not feel safe to report it, and she ended up taking it into her own hands, you know, in defending herself. And so I think there's a lot of different alternatives that can happen before an arrest can happen, but those are not, school districts are jumping to arrests in some of the cases that we looked at.
And really quickly, I've got about a minute and a half here. African-American students also end up, they're bearing the brunt of these criminal charges. The percentage of African-American students being arrested or cited greatly exceeds what they would, their population in schools.
Yeah, we found that black students are being disproportionately arrested, and I think at a rate that's like double their enrollment rate in a lot of cases, and in some districts even higher than that. We've talked to some students, some Black students who said that they feel like they're being targeted, or the discipline is biased when it comes to them. And we also found that the rates at which students are arrested or cited for these misdemeanor assault offenses are higher when it comes to Black students and when it comes to white students or Hispanic students. And so they are being arrested at higher rates for these, not as serious charges too. So yeah, there is definitely a racial component there.
Josephine Lee is a staff writer for the Texas Observer. Her article, In Texas Schools, A Crisis of Arrest of Kids as Young as 10 Years Old. You can find it online at texasobserver.org. Josephine Lee, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
When we come back from the break, Lone Star Beer, the history of the brew and the history of San Antonio are in the suds. That's on The Source when we come back.